my time is winding down. It's starting to wind down. Rev Viola will be coming in August. So I took a look. You know, I have about 8 Sundays left. But I thought it would be a good idea to kind of create sort of a thread of continuity starting today, moving through until my last Sunday here at the end of July. Knowing what's happening with this congregation, and welcome if you're new, but most of us know a little bit at least about what's coming, I actually think it's pretty important for us to begin having conversations and thinking intently about doing the work of change. Not only, of course, organizationally, it's going to be happening no matter what, but it's also a really great opportunity to be doing it on a personal level too. So the goal with what I'll be speaking about and integrating for these Sundays is to really help us prepare for what's happening now, it's in process, and what's up ahead too. There will be the leaving of this space, which has already happened once. So leaving this space, moving into a temporary one, and then building something brand new. I'll be leaving, and you have a new minister coming with fresh energy and new and delightful ways of doing things. So really, when you think about it in a larger way, this wonderful group has this tremendous opportunity to build a whole new architecture. I mean, you're literally doing it with a building, but it offers myriad opportunities to think about all the other aspects of congregational life. These times in our lives, these thresholds, we've all been through them. Most of everyone in here has lived long enough to know what I'm talking about. These times that we move through liminal spaces, as they're called, you're leaving something familiar and you're moving into the unfamiliar. You're moving through the conditions of change, and we all know how that feels. It might even bring up some anxiety just thinking about it, like this idea of change and moving toward the unknown. So you can begin really by asking some, or thinking of, I mean, I've come up with a few, but some very, very basic questions. For example, who are we when we don't have our own building? Who are we as a group when we are living in a temporary space? What does it mean for us? What defines us beyond our own personal experience of being a part of this community? What defines us larger, not just I like being here because my friends are here and it's a really nice way to spend a Sunday morning, but what defines us beyond just our connectivity? What do we have to offer as a group to the larger world that is special and unique to us? What are we bringing to this community, to the larger community, that we do really well? These are questions that we'll begin to think about and ponder. I have been curious about how humans handle change, really, I would say, at least since I began my work in chaplaincy and ministry, largely because it's work where you're watching things change all the time. Even performing marriage rituals, you're watching life change all the time. Being with people as they deal with some of the most challenging dynamics of a lifetime. So I'm always curious about, you know, do we open as a human or do we close down when things are challenging and things are changing? And think about that for yourself. Am I the kind of person who closes down when things are hard and challenging and unknown, or do I open up to new possibilities? You know, most of us tend to kind of like to cling to the familiar when changes arrive in our lives. But I have learned in my lifetime that choosing curiosity makes for a better life. It just does. I mean, it's natural, of course, to want to be with the familiar. But when you decide, you know what, I'm going to just try to be curious to see what this is here. Why is this happening? What does it have to teach me? A person who's willing to be open to what life is bringing right now. So I've mentioned it many times, the story in my life of having had that traumatic accident at a very early age, at 21, I would say taught me one of the most important lessons of my life, and I can describe it this way. You can do all the right things. You can prepare in every way that you think is the right way to prepare. Be a good student, be a good human being, take care of people around you, have a job, tend to things, do all the right things, put your faith in all the right places. Ultimately, a speeding car may still come over the top of the hill and mow you down on a beautiful summer day. Right? We really don't have any guarantees. It was a really profound and important lesson to learn very early, and I consider it one of my life's greatest blessings. Life is never, ever a straightforward line, an unbroken trajectory into the future. And when you're willing to finally just accept this reality and kind of rest into it, I would say that you open yourself to the grace of a larger narrative. This idea that maybe something larger than my little life is happening. Maybe there's something bigger going on. And maybe if I'm willing to kind of ease into that and give some of my desire for control over, maybe some really magical things might happen. I hope that some of you have had that experience in your life of just realizing, like, I'm not really in control. There's something else going on in our lives here on Earth. We really can't control the circumstances very much, bits and pieces, of course, but the one thing that we can, of course, control is our response to life. And it's a really, really powerful thing. We get to choose every day, every moment of every day, really. How do I respond to this? It's a decision. And you get to make it all the time. So what I've noticed in my years of observing human behavior is that the folks who are living what I would consider to be a good life are the ones who really have accepted that life is not something to control, and that the sooner you just get in the river and let you take it where it's going to go, the better off you'll be. You know, you have to have an oar and a boat and all that stuff. But really, life is trying to take you somewhere. And there's really some magic and mystery involved in it, too. And I think the harder you try to control, it's like this slippery substance, right? It gets gooier and gooier and more difficult to control the harder you try. So being open, being curious, being joyful, being grateful for opportunity. I mean, this congregation is stepping into a space of tremendous opportunity. And I hope all of you who have been here long enough to feel all these different changes and transitions and seen people and created community, I hope that one of the things you're feeling is tremendous gratitude for the opportunities that you're walking into at this moment in time. One thing dies in life, but always something else is born. Always. The trees. The cycle of life is happening around us all the time. We can either fight with it, or we can work together with it in a kind of beautiful divine partnership. Institutions often speak about something called change management as like an organizational skill, but spiritual communities like this one should, in fact, know something deeper. And that is that every meaningful life eventually requires us to learn how to welcome what is emerging while at the same time grieving appropriately what's ending. This is the work of spiritual life, to welcome what's happening and at the same time, the two don't cancel each other out, grieving appropriately what we're leaving behind. It is, I would say, some of the most sacred work that we do as human beings, and this community has the opportunity to do that work now, today, in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, in the year ahead, in the years maybe even. This community has the opportunity to model individually and collectively how this kind of transitional work, this spiritual work, can be done well. It is a tremendous opportunity. In my time in this world of ministry and chaplaincy, I have never been in a place where an opportunity like this has existed. A new minister, a new building. I know that change is a scary word, but it doesn't have to be. Change can also be a really exciting word, and I believe that that's where this group is today. Here's a question to ponder. How do we welcome a new minister without turning them into a symbol of either our hopes or our disappointments? Before we even know who they are, what they do, how they do it, how do we welcome them without turning them into something personal? How do we leave a familiar building while carrying forward the spirit of community that was nurtured here? Is it about the building? Think about these questions. Think about them. Ponder them. How do we remain open-hearted when uncertainty naturally produces anxiety? How can you keep an open heart when what feels natural is to kind of close down like a turtle, right? Go inside that safe space. How do you do that? This is spiritual work. This is human work. How do we meet a big transition or big transitions without hardening ourselves against one another? Some are for, some are against. Some are in favor of, some are not in favor of. Some want it, some don't want it. How do we make these big transitions without pitting ourselves against someone else in the group who might not think the way that we do? Ultimately, these are very important spiritual questions. Healthy transitions require preparation. They just do. And not just logistical preparation. There's a lot of that, of course. Emotional preparation, spiritual preparation, relational preparation. Communities, I think, groups of people are better able to cross these kinds of thresholds more faithfully and perhaps more gracefully too, when people practice things like speaking honestly, having honest conversations with each other, knowing when it's time to listen, not just saying or adding to the conversation or giving your opinion, but knowing when it's time to just listen. I would call that listening generously. Knowing how to honor grief, because that's a part of it too, right? There's always some grief involved in big changes. Resisting cynicism, remaining curious. As I've said, I think it's one of the most important human qualities. And in the case especially of a Unitarian group, returning to your covenants, maybe even rewriting some of them. I've heard of groups that get together every couple of years and revisit their covenants and rewrite them, bring them up to date. A covenant is something that allows a community to remain intact while everything around it changes. They are the anchoring pieces of a Unitarian congregation. They will get you through times when a building might change, leadership can change, plans will change, the future is uncertain, but always a community has the power to ask a question like, who do we intend to be with one another as we walk forward? Who do we intend to be? These are really important things to think about. Welcoming a new minister, leaving this space, moving into a temporary space, imagining a new home still taking shape into the future. Some might be really tired. Some might be feeling kind of exhaustion. Some are definitely feeling some grief. Many, no doubt, are carrying hope. Some people are probably just trying to understand what's next. Where are we going? What comes next? What's happening? Some are new to this group, and hopefully they're curious about what's up ahead and maybe want to participate in the creation of that new architecture. And of course, there's the reality that community doesn't move through these big changes in isolation from the rest of life. Every one of us during this time is also dealing with all of our own life stuff. Changes in our health, changes in identity, aging maybe, loss, family transitions, happening all the time. Questions about what matters most. Questions about what matters most. I think that the beautiful thing about thresholds is that they have a way, they have the opportunity to wake us up. We can really literally be woken up when we're crossing through a threshold. They remind us, these moments in time, these liminal spaces, they remind us that life does not remain fixed, Communities do not remain fixed, and we ourselves never, we never remain fixed. All of life is motion, movement, change, transition. And this really is where spiritual life becomes most real. This is boots on the ground. Not when everything is humming and smooth and peachy, but when we begin crossing into territory and we don't know what's up ahead. This is where spiritual life becomes most real. You guys have experienced lots of these crossings already, and I would say you're probably pros by now. But I don't know if we ever get to that level in life. I'm not sure. Because all of us are always meeting these things, right? Our kids grow up and move on. Our partners get sick and maybe die. We deal with illness. Constantly, constantly moving through these changes. These kinds of hard times, these disruptive times, they bring to us the opportunity for clarity. How many of you have been in that situation where something really profound happened? Someone you love, someone close to you died. And in those moments, you saw clearly what matters most in life. You might have stopped doing some of the things that were taking up your time that you really didn't want to do. You might have said, okay, I don't know how many years I have left, so I'm going to get to that thing that I've been dying to do. Hopefully we've all been there. The clarity that comes. Have you ever been like on black ice in the winter on the road and your car is out of your control? In those moments, you have these thoughts, right? Like, okay, please, if I stay alive, then this, this, and this is going to happen. If you have the chance to think those thoughts. Clarity. We have this kind of flawed sense in our lives that everything's going to be okay, right? It's a flawed sense that life is just going to keep being okay, especially if things are going well right now. But then another thing comes along and then, whoosh, here we go again. Life. We feel during these times when things are off kilter, what I would call the preciousness of being alive. And I hope you guys feel that. The very, very, very preciousness of being alive. The gift that we all have, that we're here today in this beautiful world. We're breathing. We're with people that we care about. The preciousness of being alive, it's a wake-up call. These moments are a wake-up call to live more intentionally, to appreciate what is. What is? It can be very simple. Oh, the car started this morning. That's pretty great. To appreciate what is. I didn't have to deal with any mechanical issues. Simple, right? Cup of tea. Boy, does that taste great first thing in the morning. Love it. Coffee usually, but today tea. Just to appreciate what is. And then as often as we possibly can, I know it sounds simple, I know we overstate it, but just to act with love and gratitude. I mean, why not? Just do it. Act with more love, act with more gratitude on a regular basis. I can guarantee you that it will change you on a cellular level, truly. Default to it as often as you possibly can. One of the hidden gifts, as I've already said about thresholds, is that they clarify. They strip away the things, these illusions that we have of permanence. They remind us really to ask these important questions. And I think that a kind of spiritual maturity really has something to do with learning how to cross these thresholds consciously. Not just, okay, it's coming and we've got to do this, we've got to pack stuff up, we've got to get out of here, there's a new minister coming, et cetera, but really learning how to consciously move through life's changes. Summoning some courage, and with a lot of compassion for yourself and for one another. It takes both. Compassion for all the ways that you're feeling and for each other as well. As I said, and you know, Unitarians use covenants as their grounding forces, as ways to reinforce what they believe to be true and important. And a threshold moment is when that covenant becomes visible. Covenantal language can be aspirational unless it becomes lived behavior, right? It can be words we say, hopes that we have, but then every once in a while, life gives us this fantastic opportunity to live it. To really live it, to embody it. I would argue that what you have today, right now, moving into the coming days, weeks ahead, is a tremendous opportunity if no other questions arise for you, allow this one simple one to come forward. What matters? It's 2026. The world around us is a hard place to be. What matters? What matters individually, relationally, collectively? What matters? What matters about being a Unitarian in Saratoga Springs in 2026? What matters? Take stock. The threshold that you're crossing is both ancient and also new. And each one of you who are going along on this journey really have this beautiful moment, this chance to figure that out. What matters? What do we take? What do we take? And I don't mean stuff. What do we leave? How do we behave? And what is created in the process? Because listen, you know this. The world needs the love that this group has to share more than ever, I would argue. The world needs what it is that you're going to create more than ever, I think, really. So kudos, congratulations for the decisions that you're making collectively and individually. We have to each participate in this wonderful time, this liminal space. What do we leave? What do we take? What do we create? So let's just use a couple moments of silent reflection to think about those things. What behaviors might we best leave in the past? What mindsets are old and worn out? What are some of the old stories that we can leave, literally, when we walk through the door one of these days and leave this building? What can we leave here? And what do we want to build? I mean, dream big. Dream big. What do you want to build for this world that needs it so badly? Every one of you can participate in that.